हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनभुनक्तु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तमाविद्विषावहै शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 19. Lord Chaitanya himself states that there's no fault in Shiva for propagating the Mayavad philosophy. Yet Shiva still expresses remorse. That's just the humility. That's just the natural position of the devotee. He claims that the fact that he is singled out for this thankless task shows how little of the Lord's genuine mercy he receives. This is because a pure devotee naturally dissatisfied with himself may often claim to have no spiritual status. Footnote 10. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays in his Kalyana Kalpataru, "If I think I am a Vaishnava, then I will never become humble. My heart will become contaminated with the hope of receiving honor from others, and I will surely go to hell. Give me the mercy that I can renounce the false conception of my being Guru, Guru Abhimana, and give me your service, Kripa Kara Vaishnava Thakur." 2-3 Kalyana Kalpataru. It's just the natural move, because if you're trying to do the best for Krishna, then whatever you're doing, you always see that better could be there. So you're just comparing it to that. Now, you're not comparing that to anything else. Does that make sense?
That which you were comparing with?
Means that what you are doing, you're not comparing to someone else's.
Oh.
You're just comparing it to itself. That I've done this, okay, but it could be better. And then in that way one can stay humble. Because what you're doing might be way better than anybody else is doing. So you don't want to do that. You know, oh, you cooked this sabji, it's so good. No, it's okay, you know, because you think you can do this and that and this and that. But compared to what anybody else cooks, it's, yeah. So that's why you don't do that. You can compare it up, yes, but you never compare it down. That's what you were meaning.
Yes,
yeah, you compare it up, but you never compare it down. You know, or equal like that. You always look at it. It's never how much they're doing. You know, I mean, they're doing the same thing, so it's always working.
It looks like low self-esteem. Sometimes.
It looks like low self-esteem.
Oh, I'm so useless.
No, it just says, I'm not a devotee. It's not so much that I'm useless. You can say my life is useless. I'm not saying I'm useless. Right? Because the person who has low self-esteem, they think that their life is of value, but they're not able to perform at the level they want, so they feel low self-esteem. Right? But here it's a matter of, unless you're engaged in Krishna's service, that's useless. So it's a different kind of, it's a different mood. Okay. 41. You joyfully praise the power of me and my wife to bestow liberation. But we think this power terrible because the Lord's devotees feel distressed to hear of it. Right? Because we're saying, wow, he can give liberation, but who cares about liberation? You know? You know, that's the whole point. Because devotees don't want it. So who wants it? The non-devotees. So then what's the big deal in giving them that?
Yeah.
Lord Shiva suggests that Vaishnavas do like to hear that anyone other than Lord Vishnu can award liberation. Yeah, there's also that, but it's just no one likes to hear of it because no one likes to hear about liberation. It's not a discussion. Just like you don't want to hear about karma, you don't want to hear about gyan. Lord Shiva sends Narada to the residence of Vaikuntha, 42 to 63. Shiva will now direct Srila Narad Muni to a place beyond Shivaloka, Vaikuntha. In Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary on chapter 88 of the 10th canto, he explains that Rudra has one abode within the material universe in the layer of Ahankara. This Shiva Loka featured in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, however, is beyond the coverings of the universe, but not part of Vaikuntha. While Vishnu is beyond the three modes of material nature, Shiva laments the fact that he touches the material modes. This is mentioned in Bhagavatam. Lord Shiva is always united with his personal energy, the material nature, manifesting himself in three features in response to the entreaties of nature's three modes. He thus embodies the threefold principle of material ego in goodness, passion, and ignorance. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.88.3. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments, Shiva is associated with the material energy, Shakti Yuta. He is surrounded by the modes because they pleaded with him to be accepted. Although by that covering Shiva appears to be made of the three modes, he is not forcibly bound up by these modes like the jiva, Sarartha Darshani, 10.88.3. Right, so it means someone has to take care of these modes and control because it means it has to be done. So the Lord is the one who controls everything. But he's controlling through his energies and his expansions. So that means Shiva is directly taking care of these things. Right? So the false ego is there, but then it's in goodness, passion, and ignorance. Therefore, that aspect. It's not that. It's. Yeah. So it's that the false ego.
Shiva Loka is beyond the coverings, but it's not considered Vaikuntha?
No.
Why is that?
Because it's in the Brahman. Yes, Vaikuntha is higher. Like that. But they're beyond, so everybody there is liberated. Yes?
This is the place where Mayavadi want to go up there?
No, because these are devotees who understand the non-difference between Shiva and Vishnu.
They just want to go to the Brahma Jyoti.
They just want to go to the Brahma Jyoti. Like that. So you have that aspect. So you have to be...
Who's Brahmananda?
Yes.
He's got like his own planet in there.
Basically. But how much of a planet specifically it is, but whatever it is. They perform their pastimes. He has his place. It's called Shiva Loka. The Loka can just be in the area like that. So it doesn't have to be specifically a planet, but it's a place of residence like that. You know, so it's fixed, so yeah. Right, because his wife is the material energy, therefore, how is it going to function? How are people going to function within it? It's because they are covered by false ego, right? Because that's what they get from the mahat. So that's what he's in charge of, right? Because we heard Sankarshanan, oh no, I haven't heard yet. It'll be explained. Were we reading about Ananta Sage? But that's coming up. It's coming. Okay. Yeah. The problem is there's just so many things happening. I get confused. So Ananta Sesh, he is the one who's the source of, you know, as Sankarshan, of false ego. He's the lord of the false ego. Right? Like Aniruddha is the lord of the mind. So Sankarshan's the lord of the false ego. But he himself, being Vishnu Tattva, then he's not actually dealing with the modes. But his expansion as Shiva, which is non-different, he's dealing with the modes then. But it's only that he is controlling these modes. It's not that he's controlled by the modes, because someone has to do it. Because the Lord is in support of his energy. So when his energy transforms into the external, then therefore he transforms into Shiva. Right? So then he's dealing. So that's the thing. Because he's in between, that's why it's a bit hard to understand or appreciate. Okay? Yes?
Since he's in contact with the body, sometimes he can be influenced.
Sadashiva, no. But Rudra, we see. But it's you know, basically, you only give one example or something. But it's, the point is, still, one's an example. But in here, because Vishnu is never, because it means his expansions take care. So it, as Vishnu, because he has no interest. Right? But because the material nature is there, if you have the internal, you have to have the external. So there must be a Purusha for the external, so that's Shiva. But no, because that's Krishna's yoga maya. This is where I think Shiva comes and agitates. No, Cupid comes and agitates him. That's how Cupid becomes Ananga. Because then Shiva, you know, just with his glance burns him to ashes. Right? So then after that, he's uninvited. Then he has to come and take birth as Krishna's son. Because otherwise, then he kind of, you know, in other words, you have to know who you bother and who you don't. Right? You know, it's just like, I remember in Hungary, there was this one devotee, you know, like well-to-do devotee, and that nice place and everything like that. And, you know, keeping up with the fashion, he had a pit bull, right? Not those days, people just didn't have pit bulls. He had a pit bull. Right, you know, it's like, I don't know, it means by the reports, they're kind of like the nastiest, meanest dog there is. They bite, they don't stop biting until their teeth touch.
Okay.
That's their principle.
Okay.
Yeah. You know. So I guess it's like a combination between a bulldog and a badger or something. So, you know, they're not small. So he had it, you know, he had it on the back porch, you know, nice covered area, but a porch, and chained up. And he had a little 3-year-old daughter. And she would go out in the garden, because, you know, quite big land and all that, and pick up a big, long stick. You know, something she could carry, but long stick. And she knew exactly where to stand. She would take the stick and poke the dog, you know, it'll growl a bit, you know, like that. Because it's, you know, small, so they don't, you know. And she'd harass it until it would come charging at her, you know, charge, and then the chain would get, you know, so it's just there, he can't quite get at her, right? And she would just sit there and be so happy, right? You know, the dog, and go back and sit down. And as soon as it sat down again, then she'd start to poke it again, right? Yeah. How'd you get into that?
Some people really bother.
Yes, so you have to know who to bother, who not. So you don't bother a pit bull. Unless, you know, so Prajumna, he bothered the wrong person. So then he got burnt to ashes. Like that. That's the principle.
I'm kind of happy that story didn't go any further.
Which one?
The one with the bull.
No. But then Shiva Ramas came along and saw that, because it was right outside his window, and he told him he should get rid of the doll.
Yeah.
Like that. So, yeah. So it didn't go any further.
Okay, sure.
Yeah. Okay. Shiva will now suggest that Narad Muni leave behind all contact with the material modes and seek out the superior devotees in Vaikuntha. So now you're beyond material desire, but you're still dealing with the modes. Like that. So they're liberated, but there's still the element of the modes. So that's why it's a very unique place. Yes. Right? Because he's the lord of the modes, so he has to work with the modes. But he's not controlled by the modes, and neither are his associates. Right? But at the same time, then Vaikuntha is beyond this, because there's no even the touch of the modes. 42. Therefore, O best of Krishna's associates, do not think me a recipient of his compassion. Rather, those who obtain the essence of his mercy are the residents of Vaikuntha. They have given up everything as worthless straw. Worshipping their dear Lord Hari in pure devotion, they have no respect for the desirable achievements of this world. They will not even glance at those perfections, right? Because they have liberation, so they're not even going to look at that. So, in other words, what's happening is each devotee that Narad Muni is approaching They're pointing out, I'm not the devotee, and whoever is their role models or their inspiration, they're pointing out, they're the devotee. Right? So that's the natural Vaishnava etiquette. Right? But we can use this in our own life to not become proud of our own position or accomplishments. So just as they used it, then we can use it. Right? But they only needed to use one set. We're kind of good to know all seven.
Yes.
Right? You know.
Back to Shiva. If where's Sadashiva resides then?
Even where does Shiva reside? This is Sadashiva.
So he is.
This is not the demigod. This is Sadashiva.
Oh, that Shiva loki is Sadashiva's
place. Yes. But he has place within the Ahankara covering within the universe. He has a place in Kailash. Like that. There might even be more places. Because the demigods have many places they reside because there's different aspects of their personality. Just like Yamaraj, you know, we're used to him. So he has that nice devotional demigod form. But he also has a form for the non-devotees, which is a little less comfortable. Right? You know, it's a very dark red eyes and fearful to look at. Like that. You know, that's just for them. You know, he puts on his Halloween outfit for the non-devotees. And for the devotees, then he, you know, dresses up nice. You know, the temple outfit. You know, like that. So it's like this, and so they have their different places and everything. So it's not that there's the one specific, but all these aspects match with the personality. With that. Yes?
Is the demigod, Lord Shiva, worships Sadashiva as the main...
No, he worships Shankarshan.
And then Sadashiva will be worshiping...
Shankarshan. Yeah, because it's him. It's just his expansion that takes care of what is needed to, you know, do his duty in the universe. Right? So, yeah. Because there he's specifically dealing with Maya. Right? While in the... it means the activities, the modes, everything like that. While on Sadashiva Loki, he's not. So technically, Sadashiva is not the one covered by the modes because you don't need to. It's when he enters into the material world. That's where you're dealing with the modes. Right? But they're non-different. Therefore, he can say, yes, here's the modes. You go to Vaikuntha where there are no modes. So technically, there aren't any on Shiva Loki. But there might be in Kailash. Yes. The 11 Rudras.
That
I know of, that they're manifested, but they have their place. But then, when they perform their activity of destroying the universe, that's only at the appropriate time. So, yeah.
It's a material world. It's Durga is caring about Maya is caring about the mode.
She manages the modes, but still that potency behind them has to be there.
But she exists in the spirit in Shiva.
Yes. Yeah, Parvati, any of these names, they're all her names. Because they're the same, doing the same pastime. It's just whether you're at home or whether you're at the office, really. You know? Like that. You know, at home you may be mom or this or that, but office and you serve. You know, so it's, you may have different names for the different, but it's the same person. No, you're dealing with the same person, though you're dealing with expansions, because you have her and her husband in the Shiva Loka, but then they expand into each universe. Right? But when the Lord's glancing, then you're dealing with what's outside. But that glance, that's Sadashiva. So the Lord doesn't consort with the external energy. He does it as Shiva. So Vishnu never does, but the glands, it's still coming from the Lord. So there's this transformation. When material perfections come automatically to advanced Vaishnavas as secondary effects of exclusive devotion, the Vaishnavas pay no attention to them, as if these treasures that others struggle to obtain were worthless garbage. You know, they're just something there on the side. Right? 44. Those devotees have abandoned every kind of false pride, and they have attained the world beyond the material modes and devoid of all fear. Vaikuntha, which is Satchitananda, full of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. According to his own view of himself, Lord Shiva is subject to the influence of false ego, whereas the devotees in Vaikuntha are free from this defect. Vaikuntha has none of the restrictions of material existence. This would be, from Bhagavatam. Very much satisfied with the penance of Lord Brahma, the personality of Godhead was pleased to manifest his personal abode, Vaikuntha, the supreme planet above all others. This transcendental abode of the Lord is adored by all self-realized persons, free from all miseries and fear of illusory existence. Right? Because the misery means that, you know, there's desire for it, or the change of it, the temporariness of it, or the desire to be freed from it. Right? In that personal abode of the Lord, the material modes of ignorance and passion do not prevail, nor have they any influence in goodness. Because there's no right. So that means it's pure goodness. There's no predominance of the influence of time. Right? It means time is there, but it's transcendental time. So it's not a predominance. Like here, the predominance is time just ticks away. It makes everything move and work. Is that what it says? Yeah. So what to speak of the illusory external energy? It cannot enter that region. Srimad Bhagavatam 2:9, 9, and 10. As Yudhishthira Maharaj says to Narad Muni, the bodies of the inhabitants of Vaikuntha are completely spiritual, having nothing to do with the material body, senses, or life air. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:1, 35. 45. In Vaikuntha, the residents have Satchitananda bodies, and may avail themselves of the supreme opulence of Lord Hari. They have Satchitananda powers equal to his, but the residents of Vaikuntha do not like to accept such equality with the Lord. They have it, but they don't manifest it. The devotees in Vaikuntha do not want to equal Lord Vishnu, because they want to serve him in loving devotion. Nothing other than bhakti gives them pleasure. In Lord Vishnu's own words, the one whose mind is completely satisfied in me finds only happiness wherever he goes. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:14-13. Okay, so Prabhupada mentions, like, these great devotees, they have all the mystic cities. They just don't use them, because then they want to see what is Krishna's plan, how will it unfold. Right? Because he performs human pastimes. So therefore, how will it unfold according to that? Even though by mystic power they could do so many things, but they don't. It's like that story of, I think it was Shamananda? I think it was Shamananda. With the toothbrush. Right, Shamananda. Right, he's sitting on, you know, in the morning, he's kind of like perched on the wall, you know, brushing his teeth. And somebody got one of his, you know, known persons comes running, one of the local villagers comes running and says, There's a yogi in town. He's taken a branch and he's flying around the town square and that. You should come and see. And he's just brushing his teeth. What's the big deal? Forget it. It's just a yogi like that. No, this is amazing. Who can do it? He just keeps dismissing it. Right? And then after the guy, you know, just all the arguments, the guy just won't stop about how you got to come and see this guy. He takes the tooth trick, you know, puts it down, sits on it, then flies around, goes back to the wall, goes back to brushing his teeth. Right? Okay. So the point is, you know, we got those things. Who cares? You know, so, you know, I'm brushing my teeth here. Like that.
So the idea is that the less hankering you have for the material world or the material pleasures, the more you're actually free to work within it.
Yeah. Because then the point is if you're attached to something, you can't work with it as well. See, in the material world, that you have attachments, what inspires you to work with it, but the quality of your ability to work with it is due to your ability to be detached. Does that make sense? That's the funny thing that's not caught. Because it'll be, well, how can he be good at it? He's not attached to that. Right? So then the problem comes is, that's why he's good at it. Like that. But for most people, the only reason that they will do something is from attachment. Very few do it because they're supposed to, or that it pleases Krishna. Right? It's that they want to do it. That's why they're doing it. And then since they're doing it, they're engaging in the Lord's service, since it's all Krishna, so therefore then they engage it like that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah, so that's the thing, is you get this combination. You're attached, but then you have to work in Naishkarmya for it to be successful. The more you can work in Naishkarmya, the better it will work. Okay. Yes?
You speak about those residents of the Punta, which they don't use their mystical powers or whatever abilities they have. Originally, they went there because they wanted those.
That's because they're on this side. What did Dhruva Maharaj want? Yeah, yeah. So it's that might be the position, but it's not so important. It's not as important for them as the devotion to the Lord, because they're on the platform of prema. But we see that in Braj, then even that's not accepted. That's not important, though they have all that. But it's not even something that's even noticed. Right? Here it's noticed and it's garbage. And in Vrindavan it's not even noticed.
And somebody asked Prabhupada if he had any mystic powers, and he says, my mystic power is turning the hippies into happies.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, because it says, as Lord Chaitanya says, his mission starts with the most fallen. So that's Prabhupada's expertise. He started with the hippies. And yeah. Lord Shiva also promotes the cause of devotion. Okay. 46. They are satisfied simply to worship Lord Hari with devotion. They travel freely wherever they want, protecting and promoting the cause of the Lord's devotees and the Lord's devotional service. Lord Shiva also promotes the cause of devotional service, but generally pursues indirect means. Footnote 11. Sanatana Goswami has first-hand experience of this, for he even features in one of Lord Shiva's pastimes. Sometimes, of course, it happens... the Lord Shiva becomes the best benedictor in spiritual life. It is said that once a poor brahmana worshipped Lord Shiva for a benediction, and Lord Shiva advised the devotee to go see Sanatana Goswami. The devotee went to Sanatana Goswami and informed him that Lord Shiva had advised him to seek out the best benediction from him, Sanatana. Sanatana had a touchstone with him, which he kept in the garbage. On the request of the poor brahmana, Sanatana Goswami gave him the touchstone. Right? He asked him to get from him what is Sanatana, what's eternal. Right? So the touchstone's not. That's why it's in the garbage. Right? You put temporary things in the garbage. Right? So, like that. Yeah. Sanatana Goswami gave him the touchstone, and the brahmana was very happy to have it. He now could get as much gold as he desired simply by touching the stone to iron. But after he left Sanatana, he thought, if a touchstone is the best benediction, why has Sanatana Goswami kept it with the garbage? He therefore returned and asked Sanatana Goswami, sir, if this is the best benediction, why did you keep it with the garbage? Sanatana Goswami then informed him, actually, this is not the best benediction, but are you prepared to take the best benediction from me? The Brahmana said, yes, sir, Lord Shiva sent me to you for the best benediction. Then Sanatana Goswami asked him to throw the touchstone in the water nearby and then come back. The poor Brahmana did so, and when he returned, Sanatana Goswami initiated him with the Hare Krishna mantra. Thus, by the benediction of Lord Shiva, the Brahmana got the association of the best devotee of Lord Krishna and was thus initiated in the Maha Mantra. Srimad Bhagavatam 476 purport. Lord Shiva thus enjoys giving devotional credit to other Vaishnavas, even though he is qualified to benedict others in bhakti himself. While Shiva reciprocates with those who pray to him, typically for material profit, the devotees of Vaikuntha actively seek out opportunities to preach and bestow compassion on conditioned souls. These eternally liberated Vaikuntha Vasis, like Srila Narad Muni, are always helping others. Acting in the material world, they protect sincere persons from misunderstanding the principles of devotional service and thereby falling down and becoming punished by the agents of Yamaraj. The Vaikuntha Vasis encourage the descent of advanced devotees into saintly families. Act for the increased prosperity and influence of those devotees, and render unseen help to the devotees' preaching, by which more and more conditioned jivas are brought back to Krishna consciousness. Because the residents of Vaikuntha are free from the restrictions of karma, their efforts never go in vain. 47. Always worshipping the Lord in Vaikuntha, they seem amused by those who are merely liberated. The Vaikuntha Vasis are always busy in various services, for which they even take on forms like those of birds and trees. The devotees in Vaikuntha feel compassion for the impersonalists, but it seems that while exuberantly serving Lord Narayana, the devotees ridicule the impersonalists by taking on the forms of animals, birds, and plants. Impersonalists cannot understand the difference between the tamasic forms of lower life in the material world and the transcendental varieties of life in Vaikuntha. Still, Vaikuntha devotees never actually make fun of others to belittle them, because devotees are always kind to the fallen. That's why it says they're amused. You know, why someone would want that. That many kinds of animals and plants live in Vaikuntha, and that they all enthusiastically serve the Supreme Person, is confirmed in the third canto entitled Description of the Kingdom of God. Okay, so we're going to come across this. When the king of bees hums in a high pitch, singing the glories of the Lord, there is a temporary lull in the noise of the pigeon, the cuckoo, the crane, the chakravaka, the swan, the parrot, the partridge, and the peacock. Such transcendental birds stop their own singing simply to hear the glories of the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15.8. This verse reveals the absolute nature of Vaikuntha. There is no difference between the birds there and the human residents. The situation in the spiritual sky is that everything is spiritual and variegated. Spiritual variegatedness means that everything is animate. There is nothing inanimate. Even the trees, the ground, the plants, the flowers, the birds, and the beasts are all on the level of Krishna consciousness. The special feature of Vaikuntha Loka is that there is no question of sense gratification. In the material world, even an ass enjoys his sound vibration. But in Vaikuntha, such nice birds as the peacock, the chakravaka, and the cuckoo prefer to hear the vibration of the glories of the Lord from the bees. The principles of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting, are very prominent in the Vaikuntha world. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15.18. Right, so they're chanting the Lord's glories, but if someone else is chanting, then they'll listen. Right? Well, the donkey is very happy to hear his own, you know, poetry.
Yes. Can we say that there is no false ego in Vaikuntha?
Yes. So that's Shiva's point, is that in his place, then because of his dealing with the false ego, being the lord of it, there's false ego in his place, though there technically isn't. Just that they manage those modes. Okay. But here, as pointed out, then it's beyond that, so it has a different flavor. So Shiva Loka, though it's there, it will have that element of Shiva flavor to it. But as a devotee, and he's non-different from the Lord, there's a slightly different flavor. Just like there's a different flavor between Krishna and Vrindavan and Krishna and Dwarka or Krishna and Vaikuntha. But same person, but different flavor. So therefore, Shiva is also a different flavor. So that flavor is not... The devotional aspect is appreciated. But focus or that particular flavor isn't the main flavor. Right? As a variety of devotional flavor, that's not a problem for the devotees. Does that make sense? But it's not the final flavor that you're looking for. Because Shiva himself is worshipping Sankarsana.
And all the devotees there, they also worship Sankarsana. They worship Shiva.
They worship Shiva, they worship Shankar, because they know they're non-different.
Yeah.
So when he's worshiping, they take part. They do the singing and dancing and playing musical instruments. And, you know, so basically, all they do in Shiva Loka is Hari Nam. Right? Nam Kirtan, that's all they do all day. Shiva next reveals that he considers his association with ghosts and witches and his duties of destroying the material world as burdensome business. 48. They can always see him in person, Lord Hari, who inspires everyone's pleasure and whose lotus feet are cared for by the goddess of fortune. The life in his company is pure joy. Lord Shiva uses the present verb form sampashyanta, seeing, to indicate that Vaikuntha devotees see the Lord without interruption. By this he implies that he, in contrast, can see the Lord Vishnu infrequently and then only within his heart. Right, so he's worshiping the Lord, and then he's seeing, but they're saying they're always personally with him, and they can always see him. So that makes the uniqueness of Vaikuntha.
And it's infrequent in the sense that he'll fly by on his airplane, you know, occasionally. It's not that they're 24 hours a day in contact with Hari and Lakshmi. Isn't that right? Not mentioned here.
I mean, they're going to bring that up.
Yeah.
Because the point is it's always, if someone's there, then you think of that, you know, that opportunity is always there.
Yeah.
And then they'll look at it that, you know, someone else has greater mercy because their interaction is more.
Yeah.
You know? So you're always going to have that. Yes.
Can we say that those points only come up in conversation with sages like Narada? Usually they do feel satisfied.
No, they're satisfied. Yeah, yeah. Because they are acting at their particular level of devotion, so they're satisfied. At least from Shiva. Because anyone else within the material world, they're going to go back to Vaikuntha. Right? So it'll be a different thing. But from Shiva Loka on up, then they're satisfied in that position. But at the same time, it's not that they don't see someone else's has greater mercy. Like Bhishma Dev, he has his relationship with the Lord, but he appreciates the relationship of the gopis and Vrindavan. Same with Uddhava. Right? He has his relation with the Lord, but there's that mood of appreciation. There's always got to be that you have your devotion, you're worshiping in that, but then others, then they have so much more.
What was the thing? There was something. Does he actually mention about the ghosts and everything? Will he mention that? So it's just in the comment.
Yes.
Appreciation start when there is virtual seal?
Yeah, basically. Or at least when it's a little less, it's enough to appreciate. You know, it's just like one king may appreciate the other king, his prowess. You know, it's just like we see in these battles. Like Arjuna is there fighting with Drupad's army. And then he does something amazing. So even Drupad's army, they're glorifying. Wow, that was great. That was, you know, so there is appreciation, but it's not that they don't have ego, but it's enough that they can appreciate that. but then with the residents of the spiritual world, then there's no ego at all, no false ego. Yes, there's no false ego. Okay. Because once you're liberated, then there's no false ego. So. Where else can one see compassion? So exalted is that which Sri Krishna showers constantly on the residents of Vaikuntha. 50. In Vaikuntha, nothing exists but devotional service. Vichitram. Antara bhaktim nasyan yat prema vahinim, rendered through Samkirtan and in many other forms. It goes on incessantly with great enthusiasm, spreading the ecstasy of pure love. This verse is significant, for it marks the first mention of prema bhakti in the course of Narad Muni's wanderings. Until now, the word bhava was used in the context of Shiva's ecstatic worship. Hence, the residents of Vaikuntha represent a turning point in Brihad Bhagavatamrita's narrative, that from mukti to bhakti. Right? Because mukti means you're on the platform of ecstasy. Right? The prema then is beyond that. Lord Shiva was characterized for his role in awarding liberation and for preaching Mayavad philosophy. And all they misunderstand their object of worship, of worship's. And although they misunderstand their object of worship's heart, okay, most Shaivites aspire to annihilate their individuality and merge into the Supreme. Therefore, within the context of Narada's journey, Shiva Loka represents the stage between material and spiritual world, right? Just the liberated platform. But it's a personal conception, so they're on the liberated platform. It's not an impersonal conception. Right? But still, those, that means many of, most of his devotees, they don't understand this, so they approach Shiva for impersonal liberation rather than personal liberation. The stage in the continuum of spiritual process is again mirrored in Ramananda Rai's talk with Lord Chaitanya. Ramananda Rai replied, "Pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection." C.C. Madhya Lila 866. In his Anubhashya commentary, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that this stage, devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge, is also external and not within the jurisdiction of pure devotional service, as practiced in Vaikuntha Loka. As soon as there is some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is not spiritual. That's why we take it that if it's positive material, then it's spiritual. Because that's what we're used to. We're used to good is spiritual, bad is material. Right? He's materialistic. Means it's bad. Right? But if it's considered what's good materialism, then you'll say that's spiritual. Right? He's such a spiritual person, doesn't care for himself, always giving in charity, always caring about others. Right? So that's the thing. So good is taken as spiritual, bad is taken as material. Well, within the material, there's good and bad. So the ideal is, why is good have that element of being seen as spiritual? Because the good being used in the Lord's service is the natural form. You would naturally use good in the Lord's service rather than bad in the Lord's service. But that would be the normal practice. Right? So, but it's still external. Right? It's still the secondary aspect. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So, but why are we means if we're using good or bad in the Lord's service, that's because of our attachment to good and bad. Otherwise, the devotee just engages in the Lord's service according to the duties of their nature. So naturally, good is used in the Lord's service. Right? But at the same time, as you can always find some bad in good. Right? Performing the duties of grihastha life is good. But you can also look at it from the point of renunciation, then it's so much, so burdensome, so it's bad. Right? So that's the, you can always find, right? It means the grihastha has facilities, the renunciate doesn't, right? So he doesn't have anything to offer the Lord. The household has so many nice things they can offer the Lord. So it's always going to be, that's the thing, the material world is always mixed. That's why then performance of your duties, that's called good. Not performing your duties, that's called bad. Right. So one has to be careful of that, because especially, see, it's from the Indian background, performing dharma, then that's the good material. But from a non-Vedic point, is that your social aspects, you know, how do you say, your some terms Baba uses, altruism and philanthropy, altruism, you know, all these, whatever is there is seen as something nice for the development, the prosperity of material society or the social aspect, then that is considered good. Right? Problem is it's in the non-Vedic, it's just whatever people consider as good. Right? Like, just let's say like this. The members of the family, they're sitting there in Stockholm or wherever, and the ships are coming back into the harbor, and they see that there's a good mood on the ship. They can see some sparkly business and this and that. So they consider that, you know, their economic endeavor was auspicious, right? So they consider that, yes, see, life is going nicely, things are auspicious, things are developing, the gods have been pleased upon us, right? Let's just shift to the other side of the Baltic there, right? You know, you have houses that are burnt down and, you know, everything like this. They're considering it was a calamity. Right? So that's the thing, is that who decides if it's auspicious or not? Right? The village that was pillaged thought it was inauspicious. Right? The village of the pillagers thought it was very auspicious. So that's the problem with the material, the non-Vedic, is that it's not even technically pious. It's just what's accepted as good. The Vedic, then, at least it's pious, but the point is it's still material until it's connected to the Lord. Right? So that's the meaning, is that you have those who follow Varnashram, and then you have the tribes, the 12 tribes, or lower. Yes. Right? So that's the okay. You know how the 12 tribes of Israel fit into the 12 tribes.
They have 13.
Israel, they have 13. Three got lost? I thought only two got lost. 13 tribes. Okay. 13. Okay. As soon as there's some conception of materialistic thought, be it positive or negative, the service is not spiritual. It may be free from material contamination, but because there is mental speculation, the devotional service is not pure and freed from the contamination of material life. Right, so even on that subtle platform, just the mental speculation, you can say, oh, I'm detached, it's not for me, this, that, but it's still in the platform of mental speculation. A living entity who wants to be completely pure must be above this material conception. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. Right? It may be spiritual, but it's not spiritual existence, because real spiritual existence is activity with the Lord, because then there's freedom from the material conception of mental speculation, how to control and enjoy. You can say, no, but they're situated in Brahman, which is spiritual. Yes, they're in a spiritual place, but the concept or the of the living entity is not. They're there to enjoy themselves. So there's no rendering of service. So they're not performing the natural activity of the jiva. So they're not actually in spiritual existence. They're still in material existence, just situated in Vermont. Just like you can be in material existence and be on Swarga, on Bhumandala, or be in Patal. It's all material. So in the same way as you can still, because that's Dharma, Artha, and Kama, right? But also moksha, being within the purview of the material, mundane consciousness. So that means liberation. Even if you're situated in Brahman, you're still within the material consciousness. That's why you'll always come back. Yes?
Whenever you're in Brahman, it implies that you have material consciousness.
Yes, if you're in Brahman without a body, it means you're in material consciousness. Just is like you said, but you're free from material contamination. But you have material consciousness. See, because the consciousness, then you get the subtle body, the gross body, all these things. That's why the living entity on Vasudev Sattva in the Mahat is on the liberated platform. Right? So it's no big deal. Everybody does that, you know, every 3/4 of a second of Vishnu anyway. Right? You know. So, but the point is, it's material conception, though there's no material contamination. But because there's material conception, from the conception then comes the subtle, from the subtle comes the gross. And then, you know, so in other words, from the Karana Sharir, then you get the Linga Sharir, then you get the Stula Sharir. So you, it's going to happen. Yeah. The negation of material existence does not necessarily mean spiritual existence. Right? Because you've just gotten rid of the negative. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Satchitananda, still may not be manifested. Right? So that's why there's the point. That here's where you're making the difference between material, you could say spiritual and transcendental. But here he's just saying it's not actually spiritual, which technically it's not. Right? In other words, if you're situated within the spiritual but not spiritual, right? That's the Brahman. That is the Brahman platform.
Means right. You're not active.
Yeah, you're not active. It means there's no body, there's no subtle body, there's no, you know, you're just there. Just the soul floating around.
On that one, Brahman is going to sleep.
No. We're talking about the living entities that endeavor for Brahman realization, who are in the Brahma Jyoti. Then you have all living entities, when the Lord breathes in, then they become situated within the body of the Lord. Right? And so when he breathes out, then he glances, then all the living entities, along with time and false ego, then enter Pradhan, right? And then that creates the, there's in between. It means generally that's the point, but there's a subtlety in between. It's called the avyakta, non-manifest.
After Pradhan?
Yes. And then from the avyakta, then it trans, when it becomes conscious, then it becomes Mahatattva. Because Mahatattva, the living entities, are conscious. The example is given is that when the living entity is impregnated, then there's a time of non-consciousness. That's the avyakta. Then when they become conscious, that's the Mahat. So it's the same principle.
So the elements are separated in the...
They're separated, but you know, they're also not coming together, all these different things. That's also a point, right? Because the Lord has to enter them. But there has to be that interest, that desire, and all that. Right? Does that make sense? Because we see is that it'll be explained that the... how do you say? that material existence then goes, all the different things go back into Mahatattva. Mahatattva goes back into the total material aggregate, and the material aggregate then goes back into Pradhan. So there's this place in between. It's very subtle. So it's not a, it's just a matter of that time. It's just time. So by time element, then they'll become conscious. So it's just a matter of time between Pradhan turning into Avyakta, turning into Mahatattva. Yes.
Pradhan, they all unconscious.
No one's there in Pradhan. Pradhan's just the material energy. We're just talking about all the elements. So the living entities are injected into Pradhan. But by that process, then you get Avyakta.
Yes.
Right? It means it's separated but not manifest. Then you get the Mahatattva, which is the subtle platform. Yes. Then you get the gross platform of Brahma's creation. Does that make sense? Yeah, it's interesting. You just add one. You know the whole thing so nicely. Yeah, yeah, we know all that. You add this one thing. What?
What?
And the whole thing is like out the window. So that's the thing. You add these one by one. This is the creation that's going to be described now by Maitreya. Right? Because it has that element of the pregnancy of the material energy. Right, with the living entities in that. So you have this personal aspect. Otherwise, it's just, okay, the glance is there. Then it's like a catalyst. Then all these things start to happen. What we're going to see is how the Lord's connected with it all the way through. That's the uniqueness now. So it takes on that personal aspect, and that's what throws us off track.
What is this?
Yeah, you know, it's much more easy when it's just in this nice mechanical, dry, impersonal, mechanical form. You know, like that. As soon as you throw in the personal element, then again, you know.
But why would the Lord be involved in something that it is dry and mechanic?
It's not dry and mechanic.
There's no taste in it because those living it is us.
Yeah, that's why Shiva's doing it. The glance is Shiva, not Vishnu.
He finds the taste, or he just feels compassion.
It's compassion. It means somebody has to deal with it. Because it's the Lord's desire that the creation is there so the living entities can bring themselves back to natural transcendental position. Because you can't do that in the spiritual world, because as we said, every bird, every tree, every blade of grass is conscious and on the same conscious level as the other devotees in the other forms. Right? So therefore, you know, how are they going to tolerate? It means it's just like this. You have this nice hill, right? Some nice trees around, you know, valleys and rivers and everything. And there's some lady there singing about how, you know, it's all about the sound of music. Okay? Now, if all those trees and bushes and rivers are all Krishna conscious, are they going to appreciate this song? Huh? No, because, you know, what's it have got to do with Krishna? So that's why then we're brought here, where all these things are unconscious and they don't, you know, give you any trouble.
Put nicely.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. That's the point. So then we can sit there in our house and feel this is my castle and I can do whatever I want and everything like that. Well, if it's in the spiritual world, then they're not going to buy that because the walls are alive. You know, they're conscious. And the house is just as much a devotee as everybody else.
She did say the hills are alive.
Yeah, but only with music. She's not defining that. She's keeping it the opera vidya, that only the musical thing. So then there is that the nod, the original primordial sound and all that, that you're not getting where that comes from. What kind of music are the hills alive? It's
it's the Lord's, you know, Nam Kirtan, and then that is original between the interaction between the Lord and the devotees. So you never quite get it to there. And even we see the other religious people don't really know what to do with it. Right? No? Yeah, so then that's the part. So.
Yeah. Works.
Yeah. So that's the thing is that it won't. You can't do what you want. It has to be Krishna conscious. Now you want to drive your car how you want, but in the spiritual world, the car wants to be driven in the Krishna conscious way. So that's not going to work out so good. You know, you want to do it this way, they want to do it that way. So. So then you probably end up just walking. You know? Then the ground will get grumpy. You know, so it's just we would not be happy there.
True.
Right? Yeah. So that's why then we're put here, where then we have the idea of dealing. We can work with dead matter, which doesn't complain if we're not God conscious. Not that it doesn't respond if we're not, you know, badly if we're not God conscious, because Maya is conscious and she's a devotee. Just like we're conscious of our whole body, she's conscious of the whole body. But it's not that each aspect is conscious. Right? Like this individual rock is conscious. These other three are, you know, like that. And you know, why him? Yeah.
Why am I always at the bottom?
Yeah. So give the support.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
So using these terms, could we say that this positive materialistic thought keeps us bound to the material world, but the negative materialistic thought keeps us bound to Brahman, never lets us go past Brahman?
It depends how he's using positive and negative here.
I saw it as karma and jnana, no less.
Okay, if we're taking it that way, I was taking positive and negative within karma. But, yes, it would work like that, but it also could be positive meaning that we can enjoy here, and negative meaning that they think that, you know, they give that up and are yes. So yes, you could take, yes, that would be more encompassing.
So that's karma and jnana.
So then positive would be karma, negative would be jnana, because positive means, you know, we can make it work here. And negative means it's not possible to make it work here. So let's get out of here. Okay. So either of them, it's not spiritual until it's connected to the Lord. After material existence is negated, spiritual existence, namely Satchitananda, may still not be manifested until one comes to the stage of actually understanding one's eternal relationship with the Supreme Lord. You cannot enter into spiritual life because you're dealing with Sat, the eternal principle, but not Chidananda. So you don't actually have knowledge, you don't have activity, you don't have, you know, the results gained from action, because the action needs a body and you don't have one. So. Right? And even that sat, is temporary. Spiritual life means becoming detached from material life and engaging in the loving service of the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore asked Ramananda Rai to explain something transcendental to devotional service mixed with speculative knowledge. Right, so then that's the point. The next one is, therefore, pure devotional service without any touch of speculative knowledge is the essence of perfection. Essence of perfection, but then beyond perfection, there's prema. Right, so real liberation is when you're free from the negative.
Yes.
Right? And then it develops from there. Yes.
Liberation, what stage it would be?
What stage would liberation be?
Yeah, if there any place for it,
okay, it would be bhava. Right? But the point is the first part, half of bhava, that's where there's still some fragrance left from the material engagement. So it's not focused. So it hasn't come to, you're on the internal platform, but your position there hasn't become eternal yet. Does that make sense? But when you get to the second half, then you interact with the Lord, and then that very quickly develops into prema. Right? So then, that position, then you can say, now you've inherited your position. Right? That's sampatibhava. Is in the inheritance of your position.
Right?
Yes. It means you've come to that point, then there's prema. So you have that situation, and then you have that effect or yes. Does that make sense? That also can mean you come to the point of vastusiddhi. Whereas now you're functioning in your spiritual form in its natural position. Because before that, you have your spiritual form, but you're not exactly engaged in purely in devotional, I mean, I'm saying, you're engaged in devotional service, it's just not has the full intensity up to the standard of prema. Right? So then one either is there by meditation, right? And then when one comes to the sampatidas, then you inherit, so therefore you come to vastusiddhi, where you're not here anymore, you're only there. Or it means that you have sarupasiddhi by actually being present there. So technically it's vastusiddhi. But if you actually come to the point of being now eternally part of the Lord's pastimes. Right? Does that make sense? So you go from being in Vrindavan to being actually part, an eternal associate. Does that make sense? So all that's done on the liberated platform. So for the devotee, for the Maya bodies, they get to that platform, but it's without devotional service, so it's just called mukti, freedom from the material. But for the devotees, that's called Brahma-bhuta, right? Because it's within the realm of devotional service. Yeah. Ramananda Rai. Next, Ramananda Rai quotes the verse spoken by Lord Brahma upon fully surrendering to Krishna. This is the first verse which meets with Lord Chaitanya's approval. Yeah, because the other is that, okay, it's free from karma and gyan, right? Pure devotional service free from karma and gyan. But now, what is that pure devotional service? It's not that it's free from karma and gyan. Right? It has to have that element of favorable to Krishna, right? And constant. Does that make sense? So that's the okay. You're not forgetting Krishna because there's no karma and jnana. But now where's the remembering Krishna, right? So that's what actually defines it as pure devotion. Okay. Jnane prayasham upapasya namanta eva. Jivanti san mukaritam bhavadhi avartam. Oh, because it's Brahma. He always uses this meter. Stane stitas tutigatam tanuvan manobhir ye pa yasho jita jito pyasya taish terilokyam. Ramananda Roy continued. Lord Brahma said, my dear Lord, those devotees who have thrown away the impersonal conception of the Absolute Truth and have therefore abandoned disgusting, empiric, philosophical truths should hear from self-realized devotees about your holy name, form, pastimes, and qualities. They should completely follow the principles of devotional service and remain free from illicit sex, gambling, intoxication, and animal slaughter. Surrendering themselves fully with body, words, and mind, they can live in any ashram or social status. Indeed, you are conquered by such persons, although you are always unconquerable. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.3.
Is that a Freudian slip? You said disgusting instead of discussing.
Where did I say?
Abandon discussing and pure philosophy.
Oh, yeah, probably.
I mean, both work.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's like elements and elephants, right? Yeah. Okay, so now Lord Chaitanya says, now this is the first one, now we're getting somewhere. Before, okay, it's progressive, his points that he's making. But at this point, now, where one has given up karma and jnana, and is taken up in the association of devotees, hearing and chanting about the Lord's glories, and being careful to follow the principles of devotional service, right? Surrendering body, mind, and words, right? In any social status, right? Ashram or social status. That then is the beginning. Now we can say, now we're getting somewhere. Right? So anything below this is supportive of this, but this is now you're talking about, this is actual substance. So everything before this is going to be secondary.
Yes.
Like that. This is going to be now the beginning of primary. Yes.
And earlier we said that the definition of sadhana bhakti is engaging mind, body, and senses. So that's what the Kanivana meant to be.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah, so in that situation, then you surrender body, mind, and words. At this point, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, this is all right, but still you can speak more on the subject. Okay, now it's like we've come, now we've actually reached the subject, but now you can speak more. Yes.
We're not comparing this poor first devotees to the Sri Vaisa Devata, but we said about the second. I mean that Brahmana, the king, Indra, and the monk, we're not going to say that their devotion is more secondary than
Shiva's. It's not so much that, it's that we're looking at the symptoms of the mercy. And so then we're looking at the secondary elements. Right, even up to the point of Lord Shiva, you're looking at secondary elements. Though with him, now you're looking at the essential points of the spiritual. But then you're getting into the more dynamic aspects in Vaikuntha. Right? So it's just a gradual step. So all devotees, but all it is the devotee in their progress will go through these stages. Right, means the one is nicely engaged in serving the Lord. The second one is engaging everything in the Lord's service and influencing others. Right, you know, so it just keeps developing. Right, that greater connection with the Lord, greater focus on the Lord, greater following one's duties, but then. It goes beyond just that interest in the duties to engage those in the Lord's service. Right? Because whatever our position, we engage that in the Lord's service, but you have to get to the point where it's about the Lord, and then these things are engaged. Right? So it's just like it says, the residents of Vaikuntha, they may even take the forms of trees or birds, because if it'll please the Lord, they're doing that. So it's not about, I want to be a tree, but I'll be Krishna's tree, It's about, I want to please Krishna, so there's an opportunity to do it as a tree, so then somebody's doing it. Is that...
So in the material sphere, someone becomes a tree, it's because they want to please themselves, and they just didn't really realize that that was the mood.
That would be the actual result.
Yeah.
In other words, when you come out of the, it's hit 106 degrees and the door flies open, you come running out naked to run to the lake, and that, why do they like saunas out in where there's trees?
Yeah.
Because those are, previous, compatriots.
Yes.
Because he's so much into this, then they become the trees that is the wood for making the sauna. Right? Yes.
Circle of life.
Yes, the circle of life. Right. So they don't necessarily understand that this...
There's a connection.
There's a connection. Yeah. Ramananda Rai then replied, ecstatic love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the essence of all perfection.
Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 8:67-68. Right, so now ecstatic love. Now we brought it from liberation means you've come to the liberated platform and you're free from that desires for that. But now it's you're bringing it to the positive side of now ecstatic love. Right, so you've gone from the positive within the material to the negative within the material. So one can give up the material. But having given up the material, that only comes into a neutral state in the spiritual. Then you have to bring it to the positive, that the ecstatic love for the Supreme Lord. That then brings it into that dynamic. Srila Prabhupada's purport on this passage serves as a useful recapitulation of the text so far. In his Amrita Pravaha Bhashya, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur summarizes the conversation up to this point. But Lord Chaitanya says to Ramananda Rai, Eho hai, age, kaha ar. This is the process accepted in devotional service, but there is something more than this. Therefore, please explain what is beyond. Simply executing the duties of all varnas and ashrams is not as good as offering all the results of one activity to the Lord. Right? The first is you properly perform your duties. The next is you give the results of those duties to the Lord. When one gives up all fruit of activity and fully surrenders to the Lord, he attains his swadharma tyaga, when he abandons the social order and takes to the renounced order. Right? Because it's not about fulfilling your desires, doing it perfectly, though you're giving the results to the Lord, because that's tyaga. Right, then you're giving up, coming to the point of sannyas, which means it's about the Lord. Yeah. That is certainly better. However, better than the renounced order is cultivation of knowledge mixed with devotional service. Mm. Right, because otherwise you're renounced from the world. But better is that renunciation with devotional service. Yet all these activities are external to the activities of the spiritual world. There is no touch of pure devotional service in them. Pure devotional service cannot be attained by empiric philosophy, nor can perfection be obtained simply by good association. Devotional service, just because you have good association, you have to do something with it. You have to engage in the service of the Lord. Devotional service by self-realization is a different subject matter. It is untouched by fruitive activity. For one surrenders the results of activities to the Lord, abandons prescribed duties, and accepts the renounced order of life. Such devotional service is situated on a higher platform than that of empiric philosophical speculation with a mixture of bhakti. This is verified by Srila Rupa Goswami as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1.1.11. One should render transcendental loving service to the Supreme Lord Krishna favorably and without desire for material profit or gain through fruitive activities or philosophical speculation. That is called pure devotional service. Devotional activities, however, sometimes appear to be impure in the neophyte stage, but in the mature stage they are completely pure or free from material activity. Therefore, Ramananda Rai replied after hearing the last statement of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Prema Bhakti Sarva Sadhya Sar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually accepted this verse, Jnane Prayasham, that means this one of Brahma, as the basic principle of perfection. One has to practice this principle in order to make further progress. When further progress is actually made, one comes to the platform of ecstatic loving service to the Lord. This first stage is technically called sadhana bhakti, or devotional service and practice. The result of sadhana bhakti must be ecstatic love, attachment for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, right? Because that's rati, attachment, which is also called prema bhakti. In the neophyte stage, sadhana bhakti includes faith, association with devotees, and practicing devotional service. Thus, one is freed from all unwanted things. One then becomes fixed in devotional service and increases his desire to act in devotional service. Thus one becomes attached to the Lord and his devotional service. CC Madhya Lila 8:68, perfect. Thus the Vaikuntha Vasis are the embodiment of pure devotional service. They never tire of chanting the Supreme Lord's glories and singing and dancing for his pleasure. There, prema bhakti is the only activity. Anything anyone does in Vaikuntha is pure devotion, is pure service, and nothing else, because all residents are fixed unswervingly in bhakti. 51. How amazing is that supremely great ocean of transcendental bliss. The bliss of Brahman cannot compare to even a fraction of half a drop of it. Right, so they don't even bother with even a full drop, even half a drop. Although Lord Shiva is qualified to award Brahma Sayuja, he stresses its scant value relative to bhakti. Right, so he's not giving the other aspects of liberation, only the Sayuja. Right, because the Sayuja liberation technically is not really liberated. So if one is complaining, how is it that he's giving liberation? Technically it's not, because unless you get into Vaikuntha, then it's not actually liberation.
Can you say he's giving a liberated state rather than...
Yes, I mean it's accepted as one of the five forms, but yes, it's a temporary liberated state, that from there then one will come back into the material world. Right? Because it's still, you're maintaining the false identity.
Yes.
So that means there's that contamination of the false ego. So therefore of that aspect of Shiva. Right? So one's still controlled by that aspect. Does that make sense? Yeah. Because we're discussing this aspect. Though Narad Muni did bring up the point of being, you know, head of a sampradaya, he is awarding devotional service to devotees.
Yes.
But he's Shiva's looking at it from this other path, just his position with Shiva. Right?
But is this that when he's awarded as the head of the sampradaya?
That will be bhakti.
But that's not liberation.
That's beyond. That's beyond. No, but still, that means it's by the grace of the spiritual master Krishna becomes pleased and Krishna gives you bhakti.
Which will bring the person.
To yes, but who's giving that? No, Krishna. Right, but what we're saying is Sayuja Mukti, that Shiva can give on his own. He's been authorized to do it. So then it's, in other words, it's according to Krishna's direction and will. But it's still only up to there. It's not bhakti that Krishna gives himself. Right? But it's through the medium of the spiritual master that one can get that. One can get the Lord. So he, in that capacity, then, you know what I'm saying? So we're not talking about that aspect. We're just talking about as Shiva Tattva, then he can give this Sayuja Mukti. Right? So he's saying beyond this are the residents of Vaikuntha.
Just like in Varnashram, when we have your occupation and your lifestyle, does the same thing apply to Shiva in one sense, that he has his duties as Lord Shiva, but
yes.
Personally?
Yes, personally he's a great devotee, but he has his duties. Because that's because the Lord, all the forms of the Lord, they all follow duties. You know, that's otherwise what's the fun? Why take up a particular form if you're not going to do the duties? Right? You know, you put a cardboard box on your head and you're a cyborg, so now you have to do everything like a cyborg. Right? Otherwise, what's the point?
Good point.
I can say, for example, about Indra, the same point.
As a cyborg? No, go ahead.
But Shiva is different from what he's doing and what he's himself. But Indra, for example, he's doing his duties, and that's him.
Yes, because that's the material identity. But Shiva doesn't have a material identity.
Also, Brahma is also the same.
Yes. Because that's what makes him Brahma, because he does those particular duties. The Shiva is a particular aspect of the mood of the Lord. And then there are duties that are taken care of. Right? Because it said you get a name by the form, which is defined by the activities that that form produces, does. Although, 52, that Vaikuntha world, its residents and everything there are blessed by the mercy of pure love for the lotus feet of Krishna. As recipients of such mercy, the divine residents of Vaikuntha are much greater than I in many ways. How can I adequately describe their glories? In contrast, Lord Shiva implies, his own planet and other material worlds do not have the blessings of Krishna Prema. Every resident of Vaikuntha is Sriman, entirely favored by the goddess of fortune, the consort of the Supreme Lord. Each of them, therefore, has access to the full wealth and power found in millions of universes. But because the Vaikuntha Vasis are pure devotees, they prefer not to take advantage of these blessings for anything but the opportunity to serve the Lord. This distinguishes them from the conditioned souls of the material world. 54. Yes.
Just a little bit. What is the difference between Sriman, Shiva?
That's just how it's used. It means they're all generally there. They'll be Sriman is a general, respected category. Right? But exact difference, I'm not sure. You know the difference.
Sripad is like Prabhupada.
Sripad, I guess, would be as the. Yeah, seat of Lakshmi. So that means here in the Acharyas, where they're always absorbed in devotional service, so they're always at the lotus feet of Shri. Right? Because Shri is who's worshiping the Lord, so they're always assisting Shri, so therefore Shri Pad.
Sriman is like Shaktiman.
Okay, one who has Shri.
The possessor
of Shri.
The recipient of
Shri. Okay, the recipient. So here's one is the recipient, the other means one who is the, you know, representing the shelter of the lotus feet.
Yeah, I think similar to Bhagavan, means Van is the possessor of Bhagavan.
Okay. Because Prabhupada would use it, he called Lord Chaitanya Sriman Mahaprabhu. Mm-hmm. He also called devotee Sriman, I think. Yes, generally Sripad will be used for the Acharyas. Okay. 54. Though living within the material world, in bodies composed of the five elements, persons expert in relishing devotional service to the Lord are always worshipable for persons like me. This verse is significant because it undermines the importance of physical setting. Shiva stresses that devotional service is transcendental to one's spatial position in the cosmos. Until now, Narada's journey has been a linear cosmic ascent from earth to heaven to Shiva Loka. Each example of devotion encountered along the way has been influenced by some degree by the location. Now Shiva prepares to interrupt the pattern. He admits that wherever in the cosmic manifestation the mood of Vaikuntha is found, he worships those devotees as his superiors. He expresses the same attitude to the in the Narayana Vyuhastava of the Hayashirsha Pancharatra. Quote, to those who have come under the influence of pure devotion for Vishnu and have therefore abandoned their worldly religious duties and profitable endeavors just to worship the soul of souls, I constantly offer my repeated respects. Is it raining or is it just wind? Should we stop so everyone can keep at it?
It's only 5 minutes.
So you want to risk the 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Yeah? Sure. Different opinions. Okay.
So that's the thing, is that it's about where they're situated. Right? By Shiva's declaration, the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy can potentially be located anywhere. Right? Because you're in the Lord's creation and you're seeing it nicely in connection with the Lord. Then there's no problem. So it's not actually affected by the situation, because generally we're affected by situations. So we say, if this situation is here or that situation, then I will do better. And much of the time we do. Right? On certain aspects, of course, then we may not. But now he's bringing out this point, is that those in Vaikuntha, they're beyond the situations that have been described up to now. But at the same time, is that Vaikuntha position, one could be anywhere in the cosmos.
And we say that Vaikuntha position usually would be a better medium for service to the Lord.
Of course, I mean, the medium's better, but it's not that the service will be necessarily better because of that. You know, it's just like someone's cooking with devotion. They may have first-class ingredients to cook with, or may not, but the devotion will remain the same. Like that. It looks like they are expecting it to rain.
Signs are coming.
It's occurring. Okay. Okay. Yeah, because generally what it is that's why in the Vedas it said that when this happens, you stop study, because all the kids become restless. Not only kids. Okay, so then maybe we better stop now. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama.